morning that God has given us to hear from Him and to learn from Him. And, you know, we've been learning weapons of warfare. And this is because I believe that God has called every Christian to know that they are in a warfare, to know that they need to engage. Remember, we've been learning that we have two sides of the coin. There's what Christ has apprehended for us. There's what Christ has fought for us. There are the victories that Jesus already has completed, the finished works of Christ. Then on the other side of the same coin, then we now start to live and take hold and apprehend everything that Christ has fought for. So because Christ has defeated the work of the devil, he has defeated him, then now we appropriate our victory. We walk in victory and we live in righteousness because we have been made the righteousness of God. We might be made the righteousness of God. We are conferred on us a righteousness that is by faith. Our inner man is made perfect. But then when we see our outer man, we still see certain issues. We still see certain challenges. We still see sicknesses. We still see some struggles here and there. And that is always a chastening of the Lord, that God works out our ways towards righteousness, works out our ways towards salvation. You see, when it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what does that mean? It means that salvation, yes, is already paid for in Christ, is already given in Christ. There's nothing that you do that takes you to God. But then once he has brought you to that place, there is your works. There are works that you do after salvation. There is working out of your salvation with fear and trembling. So anyone who does not give you that balance and anyone who does not emphasize that does not help you. Because the reality is you must also do your part. There is a part that you play to take hold. It's just like if your father gave you land, and I think I've mentioned this, and you don't go and take possession of it, within no time you'll find that that land is occupied, even though that land is legally given to you. So we have a responsibility to stand in the gap. We have a responsibility to pray. We have a responsibility to fast. We have a responsibility to read the word of God. We are not doing it to acquire that thing, but to take hold and to agree with the word of God that what he has done. So today I wanted us to look at one of the other weapons which God has given us, which is the what I will call the prophetic word. And this is where you are your own prophet. And I want you to, I know many times we are after prophets. We are after people to tell us, oh yeah, what have you heard from God? What is my future? Or, you know, what are you seeing and things like that. And it's not uncommon to meet people who go like, no, but this prophet told me he saw a vision of this, but I'm seeing something different, you understand? And why is that so? And then all that commotion comes in that, oh, this is a fake man of God. Why did he see this and all that? And it has not come to pass. And there are things like that. But what I will say that God expects us in the new covenant, all of us are supposed to be prophets. God desired that all his people be prophets. If you think of Moses, when God poured his spirit on the 70 elders, and then there were two that were not in the camp, that they never came, and they were prophesying in the, you know, in their tents, and then Joshua said, stop them. And then Moses said that, why are you jealous for me? Is it not my desire that all God's people will become prophets? And this is what is fulfilled in the new covenant. And so I want you to be your own prophet. And then maybe when we look at God's word, we'll be able to understand and what is expected of us to be our own prophets. And how can we make that and prophesy into our lives and declare God's promises and declare God's word. So we'll read from Ezekiel 37, and I'll use NLT, but you can always use King James or any other version that works for you. So we'll read Ezekiel 37. It says, and the title is The Valley of Dry Bones. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" Or if you look, read King James, "Can these bones live again?" And he answered, "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message or prophesy to these dry bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke the message as he told me. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise. All across the valley, the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, O man. Son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, and breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and they stood up on their feet, a great army. Verse 11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished." Verse 12. "Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel." Verse 13, "When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." Amen. Now, you can ask yourself, why did God show Ezekiel such a vision? You see, he says that he was carried by the Spirit and he was taken to this valley of dry bones. Now, for me, what stands out to me is actually the explanation in verse 11, where it says, "Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They are saying we have become old dry bones." Now, the Israelites in this time, remember, they were in exile. They're in a foreign land. They were being taken, they were taken captive, and they all felt that everything was lost to them. And you can see the speakings of themselves, their own words. They prophesy to themselves that they have become old dry bones. Their hope is gone. You can imagine a great nation, a great people, by speaking to themselves, by prophesying to themselves, by proclaiming their own, becoming their own prophets, in the negative, they got themselves to the place of becoming like dry bones. I can imagine what this tells us. It tells us that we are called to watch our words. Our words can either speak life or death. If you look at Proverbs 18 verse 20, it says that a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat its fruit. That's Proverbs 18 verse 20. to 21. That means that whatever you have, a man's belly shall be satisfied, shall be filled. Whatever you enjoy or you're eating or what you see in your life is always a product of the words that you have spoken to yourself, or the words that have been spoken to you, or the words that you have agreed in your mind, in your thoughts, or somebody maybe called you a failure and you allowed that word to settle in and enter your inner man, and then that word now starts to work in you. When it says a man's belly, your inner man, you know, when the Bible, maybe we can just look at that verse before we then we'll come back to here. Proverbs 80 verse 20 to 21. When it says a man's belly, that means your inner man. Your inner man. Yeah, let me look at King James. Yeah, okay, sure. A man's belly shall be satisfied. Remember when Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means the belly refers to the place of the inner man. Your belly, your inner man shall be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. What you speak, what you prophesy to yourself, what you declare over your family, what you declare over your job, what you declare over your children, what you declare over yourself has the power of life and death. They have the power of life and death. And I will not go into the tongue, but if you have time, just go and look at the tongue, how the tongue is described as a restless evil. How, you know, it is judged. You can imagine when the rich man who, he just wanted water to be tipped in his tongue. That means that his tongue was judged. The place where he is supposed to speak life from was judged. And that's the place where it was hottest. It burned. And he asked for water into just the tip of the tongue. The tongue is a restless evil, and he that has control over it is a man that who does not stumble. So our words are so powerful that we have to be careful each and every moment that we speak. What do we say? Especially think of when you're dealing even with people. I don't know, maybe on your community, when you speak to people, they say, things are hard, man. Oh, right now there's so much, you know, restructuring, things will not work. I don't know. I think it's just hard. Anything that you speak, even if it's not verbally, even internally, remember the Bible says that word is near you. It's near your mouth. It is with you. That word of faith that we speak. So we have a responsibility to speak that word, to agree in our inner man with the word of God. Now, look at what was happening. So he was shown the valley of dry bones, and then he was told, he was asked, can these dry bones live again? So let's say you've already gotten to yourself where a situation where things are not good. You've lost your job, or you don't have, you know, there's something that you're missing in your life, and you're feeling that it is time that you need to move into it. Maybe it is a family, maybe it is a child you want, or maybe it's a new job, and there's something that you want to move into it. He said that when he asked, God asked him, can these bones live again? He said, you alone know it. Then he was told, speak a prophetic message to these bones. Prophesy to these bones. Now, I want you to ask yourself, is it that I should say, no, I'm getting better, or I'm going to do this, or, oh yeah, I'm becoming the president, and you keep saying, oh, I'll be the president. That's not necessarily what is here. And that's the difference. The difference is he's told to speak a prophetic message. Now, when you're told to prophesy, prophecy, in essence, is proclaiming the word of God, either to yourself or to the people of God. So prophecy here, the prophetic message, is the word of God. Now, this is what I really want you to get. You must search the scriptures and find the word that is the rhema that is for you for that situation. When Jesus tells man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man does not live, yes, you will live by bread, but alone. But Jesus was saying, yes, bread is important, but it is, you don't live on it alone, but by every word. That means that you have to get to the place where you can hear the voice of God, and you can read the word of God, and you can know the voice of God. Now, as you asking God for the direction, as you want to hear what is that prophetic message that God wants to give you, there are those who hear it when they are praying. You can be in prayer, and as you're praying, then God drops in a verse, or he drops in a message, or he drops you an instruction. Or you can be praying and asking God and meditating over it, and then in the night, God gives you a dream. Remember Daniel, the Bible says, in the night, the vision was revealed to him. The mystery was revealed to him, and God just showed him, oh, this is what will happen. Or you can just be walking, and then you just hear the voice. Yesterday, we heard about the hearing strategy. You just hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Or you can just have a sensation within you. Your soul just tells you that, take hold, Lambano, there's something you need to pray for at this time. Grab it, hold it, and you speak a word, and you take hold, and you find somewhere, and you say, Rikabushikara. You speak the word. You speak in tongues. So you have to find the word. And then you can also just open the scriptures. And for me, the most sure word of prophecy is the Bible. Every prophetic word, every prophetic message must have a scriptural backing. It must be based on the scriptures. Why? Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now let's look at is it 1 Peter, where he says we have a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Let me just quickly jump to that. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, and this is a core verse that you must keep looking into it. Verse 19, it says, because of that experience, we have an even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Remember, he was telling them that when we came to Christ, we did not follow fables or stories or things that people told us or stories of people. But what happened is we were with him on that holy mountain. We saw his glory. We saw the glory of Jesus. We saw Moses. We saw Elijah. And we had the voice from heaven saying, this is my son. But then he says, but because of that experience, we have an even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. And you must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. And above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. If you look at King James of that verse 19, it says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. That means that the sure prophetic word that you need for any situation is the word of God. Maybe you're going through sickness. Can you just open the scriptures and read on verses, every verse about healing? When he says, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer offered in faith shall make the sick person well. When it says that by his stripes you are healed, Christ has already apportioned your healing. When you see Jesus walking with people and telling you, your sick man, rise up and walk. When you see the madman, the demons are cast out and his mind, sanity is restored. And you see that, and God takes you through that scripture, and he lets you to sit on a verse. And you start to ruminate on this verse. You start to chew it. You start to meditate on this verse. When it says he redeems our life from the pit and he heals all our disease, then that word starts to take root inside you. And you start to think of it, and you think of it, and you think of it, and you speak it. When this prophet, Ezekiel, when he was in the dry bones, he was told, prophesy. He was not silent. He spoke it. He shouted. He said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Come back to life. And you can imagine, bone started coming back to bone. Maybe your bones have been broken. You've just been in an accident. Or maybe there's a part in your body that is not aligning. And this is, I was just remembering, you know, I had the foot injury. And when I was reading this verse, and that word came to me, ligament come together, bone to bone. And I just spoke to my ligaments. I said, my ligaments, you will come back together. Listen, hear the word of the Lord. That, you see, that's how God gives you rhema for a situation. You've just broken your bone. You've just broken your tendon. You've just broken your ligament. You just have an issue. And as you're reading the book of Ezekiel 37, and you're seeing how this body is coming together, and then God tells you, prophesy, speak again, speak also to your dry bones, speak to your broken bones, speak to your ligaments. You can imagine the bones came together and they stood. Then the ligaments came, then the flesh came, then the skin came. But you see what happened. They were lifeless. They stood without the breath. And that's how many things happen. At times we start asking God, or we start believing in God, and then when we prophesy, we get some results. But the problem with us is many times we stop there. Think of even Jesus when he was healing the man with the man without eyes, the blind man. The Bible said he washed his eyes, and when he touched him, and then the man said, I see men like trees. Now, that tells me that this man must have lost his sight along the way, because he knew how trees look like. So he said that, I see men like trees. But then Jesus touched him one more time. He touched him again. You can always prophesy again. Never stop if you've already seen something that is coming and it is not it. Keep speaking. Keep speaking the word of God. Declare, I am the head and not the tail. I am above always. The path of the just keeps bright, shining brighter and brighter till the morning day. I will live, I will not die. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Why? Because God's word, the sure word of prophecy, is God himself. And the Bible says he is watching his word to see that it shall not fail, that it shall not go back to him empty. Don't focus so much on what people will tell you. Oh, I see you going to Canada. Oh, what? That can fail. The Bible says prophecies can cease. They can fail. But this sure word of prophecy, this word of God is written. It is written. When, when Jesus was telling the devil, it is written. You can, there are things you have to say that this is written. It is written. That my path keeps shining brighter and brighter. The longer I live, the brighter I shine. It is written that I grow from one level of glory to another. I am never going down. It is written that although outwardly I am fading away, in my inner man, I'm being renewed day by day into the very image of Christ. When the devil tells you, oh, how much you are a failure, oh, how much you are sinful, you just tell him, it is written that Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There is a place that is written. That to me is where we are called to prophesy. Be your own prophet. Speak the more sure prophetic word. Speak it to yourself. Learn to enjoy the scriptures. Learn to see the scriptures. Learn to live in the scriptures, to dwell in the word. When Jesus said, "These words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life," he was speaking everything that we read in the word of God, the logos, the one that became flesh. He is spirit and life. He will give you his spirit. He will communicate his life. Don't stop. Don't agree to stop where you see things are at. You may be making a transition. Start reading the scriptures. Start getting the word and speak the word. Keep believing the word. Hold on to the word. I remember 3 months ago, I was going through some challenges. And just before it happened, God just gave me the word. All things work together for the good of them who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so each and every time when things were not working, when things were looking not it, I would remember that word that God spoke to my spirit. All things work together for the good of them who love him and are called according to his purpose. And then I would just ask myself, am I called according to the purpose of God? Yes. Then all things work together for the good of them who love God. Everything is working for your good. Everything is working for my good. And that to me is a more sure prophetic word. When the Bible says, speak to the righteous, tell them it shall be well with them. You see, when someone tells me that they're going through this and I tell them it is well. For me, someone will say, no, you're just comforting. No. The Bible has already told me that. Speak to the righteous and tell them it shall be well with them. They shall enjoy, they shall eat the fruit of their labor. We shall not plant and another man eats our labor, no. Our children are not born for destruction. They shall be great and mighty in the land. When we speak from the revelation that this is the word of God, then we are in the zone of declaring the prophetic word and becoming our own prophets. We must know the word. You can only, your life reflects the level of the word that you know. The more of the word, the more of the water is the more of your jar is filled. And the more your jar is filled is the more wine you have. And the more wine you have is the more spirit you have. And the more spirit and the word you have is the more miracles and the more that you see the reflection of the God life in you reflecting in the outside. So the choice is yours. Either to come to the word, to speak the word, to know the word. Don't just pray alone, read the word. Don't just fast alone, read the word, know the word. It is more sure. Don't focus so much on looking for prophecies. They are good, yes, when they come from the right people, from the right source. But even if they fail, the Bible has already told us that they will fail. But focus on the word and God will bless you. I will stop there, my brothers and sisters, and you are welcome.
Commander, I think the message has really been clear. Just give me another angle looking at that that verse, because I've always looked at it from the angle of spiritual awakening, speaking to your dead self, being awakened. But now I see it from the angle of prophetic words. And I think often in time we pay less attention to what we say.
Yeah.
Forget that what we say then becomes what we possess. And that manifests, you know, in the physical and in the spiritual every time we speak. But it is good you've shared this reminder. I think it's also good to remember that, you know, even as we speak, our hearts and our our bodies and what we speak has to be in one, like, you can't speak different and your heart is thinking different. What you speak is what should come directly from your heart. Because again, if you speak different and your heart is thinking or doing different, then that is also that.
You cancel it.
So I think, yes, it is difficult sometimes when, your heart is saying different, but your mouth is saying this. I think we just need, as Christians, to see how we can nurture that union between the and continue speaking life. And where there is no life, you just speak life, and indeed life will come.
Amen.
Both options. And from Genesis, it's just the word. It's the word. It's what. So it's good to know that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Oh yes. Any reflections?
Thank you so much. Is reflecting on personally on the importance of reading the word. That you equip yourself. It's like you're building your capacity to be able to also pray, content, and also proclaim. So to me, it has been a reaffirming on the importance of the word of God, because it's through the word of God that we get the revelation of who God is. So thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, it's a word that saves. And remember, I was just thinking, even when Jesus said, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And how, he says, through the husbands, cleanse your wives through the washing of the word. The word is the one that purifies us. The more you just stay in the word, it's like a mirror. It shows you the things that are not right. And as you align to it, then you see the glory of God. You reflect the glory of God. And think of any time you read the Bible as you're sitting before Jesus and you're looking at his face. Why? Because he is the word. So value the reading of the word as if you're speaking and you're standing before God and he's speaking to you. When we think like that, it shifts our mindset. And we can know that he is with us. He is the written word. The word became flesh. This word that we read became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And he lives inside of us. So the more we keep of him, the more of the words. So when he says Psalm 119, that I have hidden thy word in my heart, that I will not sin against you, then that word becomes living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And I pray that God will give us more and more of him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word that has brought us to watch our tongues, to watch our mouths, to watch what we speak to others, what we speak in whatever situations, oh God. My God, may you forgive our utterances, oh God, because indeed every careless word shall be judged, oh God. Forgive us, watch, help us to watch our speech, help us to cleanse our mouths, oh God, that we shall not live with unclean lips, oh God, but indeed you shall purify us, oh God. That, oh God, even as we learn to hear your word and to read your word and to stay on your word, that you give us the grace, the ability to prophesy, to be our own prophets, and to stand on the more sure prophetic word, which is as a shining lamp unto the shining day, O God, until the day star rises in our hearts, O God. But we continue on that path. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, who has been away from you and who feels distant from you. The Lord, indeed, as they ask you for forgiveness, as they come to your throne room, the Lord, you show them mercy, and you receive them in your kingdom. Even as we go and as we take our journeys, the Lord, you go ahead of us. Protect us, watch over us, and keep us. It shall be well with the righteous, because we shall eat the blessing the fruit of our labors. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. God bless and shalom.